Hello, everybody out there listening to BBS Radio. This is Blake Ruby, otherwise known as the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, Church of the Soul's Evolution. It's a beautiful day here in San Antonio, Texas. The sun is a lot higher up in the sky because we went forward 1 hour. I had a great week, and I've been working out some aspects of my life, just like I think you are. It has to do with spirituality, everything, all aspects of our lives. I think most people work on, you know, I wonder sometimes if it's just me that's doing these things. I'm almost 68 years old. I'm still working things out, you know, trying to determine the right way of doing everything, whether it's exercise, whether it's sleeping, eating, public speaking, singing, all kinds of different aspects, details of my life. And I'd like to share some of that with you. And also today, I'm going to do some singing because I have a solo tomorrow at church. So I'm trying to get ready. It's a song I've sang before, but it's kind of a difficult song. And I'll explain why in just a few seconds here. I was telling Don before my introduction that I'm eating some soup because I just got up a little while ago. I had a nap going out this morning. It's a good soup. It's called Gardein. I don't know if you've heard of it. Gardein, G-A-R-D-E-I-N. They make kind of vegetarian meat. Textured vegetable protein, I think it is. And they've just recently started making soup. Before, it was frozen stuff like baked chicken, baked beef, baked pork. And it's good stuff. They also make a type of vegan jerky, too, which is really good. Teriyaki flavored. Anyway, this is like baked chicken soup. And their baked chicken, as I mentioned, is textured vegetable protein. And tastes almost like the real thing. I don't know how many of you out there are vegetarians / vegans, but what if I was to say to you, I could, let's say you like steak, like my wife does. If I could, or if someone else could, provide you a steak, what looked like a steak, smelled like a steak, and tasted like a steak, say with juice on top and sizzling mushrooms by the side. But I was to tell you that it wasn't a real steak. It was some kind of textured vegetable protein, but it was just like the real thing in every aspect. Would you eat it? Why not? You know? I don't judge people for being meat eaters. You know, my whole family is. My son is. Although he's dabbled a little bit with vegetarianism. I used to eat everything up until age 44. I used to have two steaks a week, and they were tasty, indeed, but a little bit hard to digest. And for me, I did some research on the subject of digesting food. And currently, when you eat a lot of beef, especially if it's not cooked all the way through, it's difficult to digest and can stay in your factory, so to speak, for a longer than usual time, if you know what I mean. So back then, just after my kidney transplant, and I donated one of my kidneys to my son, and I was back in 1995 when I was in the Army still, and I was 41 years old, I realized afterwards, it took me a few years before I became a vegetarian / vegan, 4 years to be precise. It was the 29th of March, the same day exactly, just a coincidence that I had the transplant surgery 4 years earlier. And that's when I became a vegetarian, a vegan, the 29th of September, 1990. And I noticed the system was a little bit compromised, shall we say, and understandably so, because, you know, when you lose a kidney, even though people say, it is said that a human being can live perfectly well with just one kidney, but try it yourself, and you'll see that it's not exactly so. The person who said, or the people who said that, didn't actually experience it themselves. There's no better experience than to do it yourself to find out what it's like, you know? And from my research, other people have felt, other people who have donated kidneys or who have only one kidney said the same thing. They felt the need to practice a better kind of discipline when it came to ingesting the different types of food that we do into their bodies, and observing, they had observed, and I observed that it was of the essence in order to function optimally, that I should eat things that were easier to digest. And so really for me, it was all about digestion. And I've been okay. I've had enough energy to do things. It's a matter of choice. Some people would never give up eating meat and dairy products and eggs. And that's okay with me. I figured the way I rationalize it is, you know, the very science of vegetarianism or being a vegan is a relatively new one. Although I'm sure throughout the history of the world, there have been people that have just by pure choice decided not to eat anything with meat or dairy products or eggs, animal protein, in other words. But for the most part, it grows a body, you know, from when you're a baby all the way up until you're a tender old age, you know. And the body can function very well. Look at all the sports players. You know, they eat everything, most of them, I think. So the body can function well. I mean, good enough. And there are most people, I think, are stronger than I am, or stronger than I have ever been. In the prime of my youth, I used to be able to run 2 miles under 12 minutes. I could run half marathons, never ran a full marathon. And they say that people that live to be over 100 years old, the majority of them are not vegetarians or vegans. And so it doesn't matter. I mean, you really can't compare the two when it comes to who lives longer. What I mean, or maybe you can, although there's not a lot of research that's been done, or the research that has been done might not be that comprehensive, if you know what I mean. So the statistics that exist right now, as unreliable as they probably are, say that the majority of people live to be over 100 years old are not vegetarians. And actually, of that group of people, most of them drink and smoke. So how about that? That's what I learned, unless there's some new information out there. And so I was saying that God, the creator God, knew that man would be in need of having the required amounts of protein during his development here on this planet, his evolution, his her evolution, where sometimes people just don't have any vegetables to eat. And so what else are they going to eat? You know, they're not going to starve to death. So animals are available. I mean, they eat each other. So like a deer, for example, here on the in the American old days, the pioneers that went west from the east, and even before them, you know, I'm just using the United States as an example. People, how they existed back then in those days. They killed animals. They lived off the land. The Indians did too. You know, the Native American Indians. They lived off buffalo and deer and the fish and the streams, the rivers, the lakes, the oceans. And it was good. But there is an optimal diet, and one has to find it for oneself, you know. There are some people that have both kinds of lifestyles, vegetarian, and also, I forget what they call it, omni-vegetarian, where you're sometimes you might go weeks being a vegetarian, then you have some meat, whether it's chicken, beef, pork, fish. Anyway, it's now been 23 years, and I've been doing okay. Now, there's no long-term research out there about what happens when someone adopts a vegetarian lifestyle or a vegan lifestyle. I mean, long-term. Those statistics I was telling you about, people live to be over 100 years old. Well, I mean, back then, let's say maybe 50 years ago or more, back in the 50s, the 40s, 30s, usually people didn't give that, being a vegetarian, much thought. You know, everyone ate the same thing. It was like taken for granted. You know, this was the food you eat to grow, you know, period. You don't think about anything else. And there wasn't any vegetarian food back then, for the most part, that they sold, you know, like textured vegetable protein or tofu or tempeh. People didn't just eat only beans, you know. So that long-term research is going to take a few years, maybe in 20, 30, 40, 50 more years. In the generations beyond the baby boomers, who are more kind of hip to the doing their own thing, you know, and not conforming themselves to that way of doing things, then they'll have some more statistics, more information on if it's actually beneficial for a human body to, more beneficial, I should say, for a human body to live a vegetarian lifestyle and avoid eating meat and dairy products and eggs. In other words, animal protein or plant, you know, living a plant protein diet. And, you know, you see it nowadays more than it was even 20 years ago, a lot more. They're advertising on television more products that contain plant protein. So, it's all about digestion, my friends, I think, for me. Like I was saying, it's become more important for me to know that I can stay regular and not get constipated like I used to do before I became a vegetarian. And now it's very, very rare. In fact, I don't remember ever being constipated after I became a vegetarian, vegan. These are the hard things we have to talk about, right, amongst ourselves. The truth. It's all about the truth, my friends. And having only one kidney, having donated one of my kidneys, I felt that, besides other things, that I didn't want to be constipated sometimes. And it made sense to me. right after I started that lifestyle, and I saw how I was feeling, and then I was digesting ample amounts of fiber, and I was feeling more energetic. At least I thought I was, but in retrospect, I believe I had more raw power, if you will, when you ingest ample amounts of, sufficient amounts of meat or your food, then the body is, it works kind of overtime in a way, you know, it's harder to digest, but it also provides more energy, which is kind of a contradiction to what I said. But what I mean is, for example, I was in the Army at the time, and I used to run, as I mentioned, 2 miles in under 12 minutes on a routine basis. Anytime I ran, I did a 6-minute mile or less. And I also was doing push-ups and sit-ups. And right after my surgery, I started walking, and I didn't run for quite a while afterwards in my recovery process. But I had no desire, maybe also because when they did surgery back then, now they have more less intrusive surgery where they can take the kidney out without leaving a huge scar from side to side. I have. And all the nerves were cut in my right lower abdominal area, and it took years for them to grow back. It took years for all those nerves to grow back, you know? And I just didn't feel motivated to push my body to the limit I used to, you know, running 10 miles or a half marathon. So to summarize, I would say that the way I felt when I used to eat meat, animal protein, that it made me, I felt stronger, but I had more energy when I became a vegetarian to do something. It's hard to really compare it. I don't think there's been any research done on that. You know, I don't think you can look that up on the internet. So that's kind of like an experiential, finding out for oneself thing, you know, self-experiencing it. You know what I mean? Anyway, so I still got my soup I'm working at. It's pretty good. It's got noodles in it. It's got carrots. Are you eating enough salads? Salads are good. Salads will keep you regular, you know. That's a good thing. So like I was saying, being, you know, a kidney transplant survivor, in other words, having donated one of my kidneys and having only one kidney right now, digestion is important to me. That's why I adopted the vegetarian lifestyle without the ethical considerations. I won't judge my fellow brothers and sisters out there, you know, who are co-creator gods in the making. You have free will and are able to do what you want to do. My parents, they had everything up until the day they died, and drank and smoked. You can't tell people what to do. Just like you can't tell me not to live a vegetarian lifestyle. You know what I mean? You have to find out for yourself what's right. And that's why we're here. We have free will. We can find our own way. You don't need other people to tell you what to do. You co-creator God in making you. You are great. You are awesome. You know, we're born into this world, and we're big babies. We're babies. We all were. Yet I saw a baby at church last week, and I was saying, hi, baby. Beautiful little baby, and their eyes are so wide and innocent and, you know, very spiritual. Because I know that when babies are born, they come from that pre-existence before we were born, when we existed in the spirit. We just don't remember because we we crossed over that, what they call the River of Oblivion. It's a veil which blocks our remembering of our pre-existence and our past lives. And that's the truth. That's the truth. That is the truth. And when you die, when we die, I say we, you, I, then we will go back to that existence. Make sense? Yes. You knew that. That's no revelation, I think, to you. So we're born into this world. We cross that river of oblivion. We're born as babies. Babies, they still have that in their minds, very fresh in their minds where they came from. That's why they look so pure and innocent. And then also they're in constant contact with angels who are guiding them, protecting them in the initial stages, in the first few years of their lives, you know, before they become more earthbound in their thinking, if you know what I mean. Angels are always there helping out. That's part of the pact, the agreement that we have with the Mother and Father God in heaven. And babies, we were all babies, and I said that to that baby last week. Hey, I was a baby one time. Everyone said, oh, she's so precious. Oh, you're such a beautiful baby. You know, don't forget that you were a baby once too, okay? Remember, you were a baby once also. And we're all, you put a whole bunch of babies together in the room, in a room, a maternity ward, whatever, in one place, right? Whether they're black, or they're white, or they're yellow, whether they're Asian, whether they're Native American Indian, whether they're Egyptian, whether they're Russian, Ukrainian, Chinese, all babies, my friends, all babies are equal. Equal. We're all equal. Babies that are better than any other babies. That's the point I'm making. Think about that. Embrace it. Embrace that idea that we're all equal. Because even more than that, and you've heard it all before, this is nothing new to you. We're human beings on a planet. We should be like brothers and sisters in spirit. We are. Brothers and sisters, not in physical bodies, but in spirit. Brothers and sisters. That's why one day we will realize that it's completely insane to kill each other. Completely insane to kill each other. There's no good reason for it. Excuse me. Just finishing the soup up here. And one day we'll look back upon these times as relics of an insane past. Not only having armies, but also a police force. Because in the future, it would be incomprehensible that someone would try to steal your stuff or harm you in any way. Unfortunately, that's where we are in our evolution at this time. And evolution is a slow process, my friends. And we just have to go along for the ride and also pray. I was on a cruise recently. I think I told you I was gone for a couple of Saturdays. And it was a beautiful cruise. That's one thing I like about cruises, because being a vegetarian and vegan, mostly vegan, I can get enough food on a cruise ship because they have all kinds of different food items on the buffets. And when I go to the dining room, they usually have at least two vegetarian entrees on the menu. And it's great. That's probably the number one thing I like about cruises is I can get enough food for my vegetarian diet. And it's about as many, if not more, choices available for me than, well, that's not true, because I can go to the local grocery store, H-E-B, here in Texas, which is fantastic. They have enough money. Sure. Let me get my water. Hold on, please. Okay, I'm back. I had to turn my stand station here that I'm talking at around because the sun is setting and it is coming into my man cave back here, my closed patio. So anyway, I was saying I was on this cruise and there was this person, a lady. That's another thing, too, about cruises. You get to meet all kinds of people. I mean, there are 6,600 people on board, and that wasn't even full capacity. It was 6,600 with full capacity. I mean, the full capacity of the ship is 6,600 passengers, not to mention the crew members. So if you haven't taken a cruise before, when you do, you'll see that you're walking by lots of people all the time, everywhere. Everyone's having a good time. So it's kind of cool. In fact, usually especially the first few days, you know, you're on your vacation, you've already washed out from the home port, you're out in the open sea, everyone's happy, feeling relaxed. Now, there's a lot of people drinking too, you know, so you got to watch out for that. Me, I don't drink. My wife didn't drink the last time. It's a choice, but, you know, that's one of the main ways that they make their money, besides selling the cruise and the room, the cabin, I mean, and the port fees and the taxes and the insurance and maybe airfare if you need it. The other main money maker, if not the most they make the profit from, is selling alcohol. So you'll see a lot of drinking on cruise ships. And I don't judge people for drinking. I used to. But even if I hadn't drunk anything, I realized that judging people is we all have free will. Anyway, so there was this person, a lady, walking around, seeing all these people. She had her shirt pray like hell. That's what we need to do, my friends, right now during these times. Because the situation is a very delicate situation in this world today. Get into conflicts with other countries, you know, because it's a testy kind of situation. We don't want to be killing people. We don't want anyone to be killed in war. You know, I saw on television today like 867 civilians have been killed over there in the Ukraine, and of them, 64 were children. Children who don't know better, who are innocent, who don't have any fight with anybody. Why do you want to kill them for? These Ukrainians, they're actually former Russian Soviet Union, USSR, ancestor people, you know what I mean? It's like they're killing their brothers and sisters, all because they don't want Ukraine to become a NATO member, because they don't want NATO building up on their borders. Russia doesn't want that. And that's understandable. And NATO really was something that was created because of the Cold War. But now they say Putin is did not want NATO on his borders. But I think he's sad and upset how the former Soviet Union broke up into all these different states, you know. And they were once all together being governed by one single entity, if you will, you know, the the Russian government was in charge. And I think Mr. Putin misses that, that the breakup happened. And I believe he has aspirations to try to bring him back into the fold. Maybe not much more that than, or let me rephrase that. That might be secondary to, I think, the main reason, which is to make sure NATO doesn't build up on its borders, because then, and they feel like they're exerting a kind of pressure on them to conform with the Western way of thinking. You know, we're kind of pushing our ideology on them, if you will, which is wrong. They have a right to do what they want to do, as long as they do it peacefully, you know. And then you have the politics. Oh, the politics. Our founding fathers had it right. A government that was run for the people, that the welfare of the people would be the primary consideration instead of the competition between two political parties. They had no intention for what has become today the norm, the standard in our politics, where you have fighting between the two big political parties, and they just completely ignored the welfare of the people. So they, and I've said this before, they're in violation of the Constitution. That's obvious, blatantly obvious. Yet it goes, and no one objects. No one right now. If you want to talk about the Constitution and being in accordance with what the Constitution said, what the fathers said, and what they did, and the whole vision they had of the United States, then you will hold all politicians to the standard of upkeeping the Constitution and what the Founding Fathers wanted, and that was for we the people to be governed effectively. And we can't be governed effectively if there's a competition going on between two parties and they're not doing the right thing. They're not doing the right thing. The welfare of the people is being ignored and overlooked because they are fighting between themselves and are not doing what's right for our country, for the people. Now, in all fairness, they are doing some things right, but most things they're not. So I think we need a major revamping of our political system. And it's up to the people when they vote. And I'm not saying which party to vote for. Just do the research yourself. I'm more of a people person myself. You know, I like the person. I don't like the party. I can vote Republican or Democrat. I'm not a lifelong, just like my parents were before me and my grandparents and all the way back my family tree throughout as far back as it goes, over thousands of years, voting mainly conservative, Republican, or liberal Democrat. You know, I'm not that way. I like person. I like Hillary Clinton. I would have voted. Did I vote for her? Yeah, I voted for her. Over this last election, I preferred Mr. Trump over Mr. Biden. I voted for Mr. Obama. I liked him more than Mr. McCain. I chose Al Gore instead of George W. Bush. Voted for President Clinton instead of George H. or H.W. Bush. I voted for Mr. Reagan rather than, who was it that ran against him back then in the 80s? Mr. Dole. And I forgot his name. Michael somebody. Anyway. The point is, I'm a people person. I vote for the person. I don't vote for the party. I think Americans need to do that, too. That would be my suggestion, my friends, for you. Don't be swayed by the different parties. Well, then that opens up a whole new can of worms, you know, because you've got the Republicans are anti-abortion, and then the Democrats are pro-global warming, you know, climate change. Two really major issues there in conflict. I mean, they should both be on the same sheet of music, you know? And what do I feel about abortion? I think it should be left up to the woman, you know, to choose and not have the government choose for them. But, and I've said this before in other shows, a woman needs to make an informed decision when it comes to having an abortion, because I just, based on what I've learned, you know, and this is my show about spirituality, be forewarned that when you enter like that baby, that spirit, the baby, the spirit that's inside that baby, that's like you have a spirit inside your body, is going to go back to heaven and exist there in a very disappointed kind of state, whereas they thought they were going to be born into this world and live a life just like you and I are living. But instead, that decision was changed, turned around, and now they're in heaven, they're existing there, and the mother and father are going to meet them when they transition to the spirit lands or in heaven, and they'll see that child. And children grow up, too, in heaven, you know. What I've learned from people that have been to heaven, there are children in heaven, and they're raised just like they are here on earth. So miscarriage, just like abortions, if a mother has a miscarriage, say it maybe 4 months or 5 months into the pregnancy, they will see that child later on when they get to heaven, guaranteed. My advice, you can, if you're okay with that, you know, consider that. Now, the spirit comes into a baby, could be any time during the 9-month pregnancy, but typically from what I've learned, yes, there's a lot of research out there on the internet about this, believe it or not. Typically, it's around age 4 to 5 months, but a spirit can come into a baby just after the heart starts beating or right towards the later stages of pregnancy, just before the baby's about to be born. And that's something. I learned that. So women also need to be well-informed. That's what I would suggest. I'm not going to tell anybody to do anything. These are just my opinions, you know. I respect women. I know that they are not given the respect that they deserve, being co-creators with God. Having a baby grow inside their bodies is a miracle in and of itself, and it's not recognized enough throughout the world. We need more female leadership. I will vote for a woman president this next election. I think that's important. I voted for Hillary, and it wasn't meant to be, but we need a woman president here in the United States, just like they had a female prime minister in England, Margaret Thatcher. We need to, just like we voted in a black man to be president because, among other things, it was only fair to have a black person be president after everything that the black people had been through in the past with slavery, etc., which was just an abomination, you know, back then. People have been enslaved on earth here throughout the centuries. The Jewish people were enslaved by the Egyptians. Before them, you know, enslaving people is a sign of lower evolutionary stages in a planet's growth and development, you know, or during a planet's growth and development, enslaving people or slavery is a sign that usually happens in the lower evolutionary stages. You know what I mean? And then when there's not a lot of technology, not a lot of money, you know, people are enslaved. It's that simple, really. It's unfortunate, very sad, but it happens. And you see where we are now today. We're kind of now recognizing that more and more as each day goes by. Even as early as back in the 60s, they had the civil rights riots. I mean, over 100 years after slavery ended with the Emancipation Proclamation. And 100 years later, then people are... The white people here were abusing black people all over, especially in the lower southern states, you know. Just unacceptable, but understandable as an evolution. Now, I think most people recognize that they were all equal. Imagine that, right? Babies are equal. Therefore, we're all equal. Agreed? Babies are equal. Every baby, whatever type of baby you've got, they're babies. Yes, doesn't matter if they have the family has a lot of money, if they're millionaires, billionaires, that baby is no better than the baby of a poor person living in poverty in some neighborhood somewhere, you know, in another country, you know, where there's a lot of poverty, people dying of starvation. It's just sad, you know. And those people, you know, they could survive. That's one thing, too, just to be honest with you and truthful. I think that those people that are poor and dying of starvation, we can help just by giving them basic substance to eat, you know, basic food, like rice and beans. We have the capacity, we have the capability to feed everybody here on Earth. But as you know, there's a lot of greed going on, right? A lot of greed. People, they have a lot and they want more, and some people suffer. But welcome to planet Earth, you know, suffering is a way of growing, believe it or not, in our spirits. Although, as Buddha once said, the object of living our lives here on Earth is to avoid suffering. It will happen inevitably, but the object is to find a pain-free and suffering-free way and try to avoid pain and suffering. In other words, same thing. You know what I mean? And Buddha, I recognize Buddha as a great being. You'll probably meet him when you get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we'll meet all kinds of fantastic people from our past who existed, you know, throughout the century, from different cultures, all there in heaven. There's only one mother and father God for our solar system. We're born in a solar system, my friends. There are other solar systems out there. The sun world, the sister world, world of fire. You know, how often have you thought of that? How often have you thought of that? There's a fire in the sky over there. A fire in the sky. Doesn't that seem a little bit strange to you? And that fire is a very fire. It's a nuclear fire where 6 million tons of hydrogen are converted into helium every second. It's not the kind of fire that, like, when you take a match and you light a match. Similar. But it's white energy. That white energy is providing heat and light for our solar system and our planets. And one of those green zones, you know, it's revolving around the sun in just that right area where we get ample amounts of sunlight each day for photosynthesis. And it helps sustain the planet and that life and our life, our lives as human beings on this planet. It's in a perfect place, in other words, my friends. And that sun is more than just a provider of heat and light. It's also the spirit world, because your spirit and your body are made of light energy. Did you? Billions of electrons. When your spirit pops out of your body when you die, pop out of your body, it pops out of your body. It can be pulled out by angels. It can be pulled out by deceased relatives. You can just exit your body through the top of your head or out through your chest. And it's all there in my book, The Gray Brain, The Golden Soul, in the Amazon Kindle bookstore if you're interested. 80 pages of pure spirituality that will knock your socks off. I guarantee it. That's just one thing of a 100,000 talk about, because why? I was blessed. My mother set me on that path of spirituality, my friends. You know, that's what I'm talking about. That's what's happening. Yes. Gray brain and the golden soul. Did you not know that your soul is the brain of your spirit? So your brain is the controlling center of your physical body, and your soul is when your body ceases to exist, and your spirit pops out of your body, pops out of your body, and looks back then on your physical body. Don't be frightened now. This is reality. The truth. There's a war going on. People dying. 40 the world dying every day. It should be no big surprise. You can handle it. And some people say, oh, please, I don't want to listen to that. And it's at work, you know, we don't talk about those things. And the church is like, I mean, you can rarely talk about even heaven a lot. You might talk about the miracles of Jesus or, you know, some of the miracles that were performed in the past with Moses. You know, it just shows me really where people are in their evolutionary status, you know, what their evolutionary status is. And I can see that there's a lot of young souls around, you know, and that's not a bad thing. It just means that the older souls have more lives, past lives under their belts. You know, it's like a school. This is the university of the universe. And you live a life on a planet. It could be a long life. It could be a short life. You have an expiration date that comes, and you transition to the spirit land. So when you don't have your five physical senses, then you're going to gravitate towards where there is a light in the solar system. And what do you think that light is? Yes, the sun. But it's usually too bright to look at, which tells you, might tell you something right there, you know? And that song by Sting. Okay, here comes a song for you. Fields of Gold by Sting. You remember me when the west wind moves upon the fields of barley. You forget the sun in its jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. So she took her love upon the fields of barley. In his arms she fell as her head came down upon the fields of gold. See the west wind move like a lover's soul upon the fields of barley. We'll forget the sun in his jealous sky when we lie in fields of gold. And then I think, you know what, I skipped a verse. Because then the fourth verse is, I'm trying to remember. It's a lot easier to remember when you have the music to sing to, you know? And I've noticed that. As an accomplished singer, that's the truth. But then again, a cappella singing has its virtues, too. But then it goes into, let's see, in his arms she fell as her hair came down. I can't remember right now, but then it goes, I never make promises lightly, and there have been some that I've broken, but I swear to you in the days still left, we'll walk in fields of gold, we'll walk in fields of gold. And then the last verse is, many years have passed since those summer days among the fields of barley. See the children run as the sun goes down among the fields of gold. You remember me when the west wind moves on the fields of barley. You can tell the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold, when we walked in fields of gold, when we walked in fields of gold. So Sting, Fields of Gold. My point is, and that's another thing too, Fields of Gold, is possibly he's talking about heaven? Maybe not. But what was I sang that song, I think, to emphasize the sun is in this jealous sky. We don't give too much thought about the sun. There was a civilization here on Earth once time that used to worship the sun. I mean, it's the giver of all life, right? Plant, animal, human life on Earth. You have to admit that. Without the sun, we wouldn't exist. Yet people ignore it. Probably because they know deep down in their core being that the sun has more to it than just providing light and heat. It also provides the energy to revolve the planets around itself and rotate them on its axes. But more importantly, it's the matrix of the solar system and the spirit world. And on the spirit world, you have a mother and father spirit, otherwise known as Mother and Father God. And for those of you that only believe in a Father God, when you get to heaven, and hopefully you will right away, instead of later on, if you know what I mean, then you won't be looking around and say, am I a motherless child here in heaven? I don't have a mother in heaven. Oh, I've got a biological mother. She's in heaven, but don't I have a mother creator? Well, you too, my friends. Surprise, surprise. The very fact that most people don't believe in a mother God is a sign of being in the lower evolutionary stages of your development as a soul, on your soul's journey. Once you are a more advanced soul, then you recognize, not only with your intelligence, but with your soul, your inner being, your spirit, that there has to be a mother God, because Father God, not only does Father God want a female companion by his side and doesn't want anyone to dictate to him what or what he cannot have, but also we are the children of the mother and Father God. And Jesus said so himself when he said, our Father who taught us how to pray, our Father who art in heaven. That's a no-brainer. That solves everything right there, but people just whoosh, goes over their head. Whoosh. They don't remember that. We are the children of a mother and father God. You can't have children. Hello, this is the universe we live in. It's the male, the female, the alpha, the omega, the yin and the yang, the positive, the negative. This is a universe of males and females. The supreme creator, the creator God of the universe, is both male and female. Surprise, surprise, angels are both male and female, androgynous. Yes. Therefore, my friends, logically, based on everything that I've just said, there is a mother God, and the sun is heaven. And the devil, and I've said, I know I've talked about this many times before, for those that have listened to my show before in the past, but for anyone who's new, well, this might be a surprise, and I don't like to burst people's bubbles because they are where they are in their development. And for me, religion is like a stepping stone, because I was there one day, at one time in the past. I'm 68, almost 68 years old now. My mother, she was an advanced soul, in my opinion, and she put me on that path. Religion is a money-making business. They're not really concerned about the truth so much as making money and having power over the people. Am I right or am I right? Yet, it just goes over the heads of some people. Spirituality is where it's at. We're here to develop spiritually. That's the only reason we're here on Earth. And to learn from the darkness. God has provided the creator. I've got 1 minute, my friends. I was going to say, you know, we have half a day of night darkness and half a day of light. Anyway, so my prayer is for the creator of the universe to bless us all, everybody, Creator, you can make it happen. You can deliver us. You said that you would. Please help stop war, not only this war in Ukraine, but all future wars, because we really want peace, God. We want to raise our children in a peaceful environment, future for future generations to come. Please help us, Creator. From the bottom of my heart, I pray this, and humbly I ask that it be so. That could be your will. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. I love you. Bye-bye.